Okay, so we left off yesterday. We were talking about the idea of how even Kiddush during the daytime, whether or not it's obligatory in the HaTorah, but maybe it could be a kiyum of Zachar Soma Shabbos Katro, and that every increasing mention of Shabbos may also be a kiyum. And the notion of what exactly is happening all of these sanctifications or through the whole process of the Bechira itself is something which still needs to be properly understood. So if we say that the Bechira is about remembering, so then it prompts the question of how do we need to remember something when it's in front of us. If we understand that it applies to mindset and to activities throughout the week, shopping that you do during the week, or the framing of the date during the week, or such types of activities, that's one thing, but on Shabbos itself, when it's right in front of you, so how exactly does the Bechira have a role? And if we say that it's to do something active, we say that it's to sanctify the day, so here, Shabbos exists on its own. It's Kaddish V'Yomei. That it stands at its own Kiddushah. We know that when it comes to Yontif, so Klal Yisrael has some role in choosing when that's going to be directly. Rosh Chodesh this week, today Rosh Chodesh, which brings to mind that whole process of Kiddushah Chodesh that happened through human involvement. So we have an indirect way of influencing when Yontif is going to be, and that's why we have the Kaddish Yisrael, the Hazmanim, and the Kiddush V'Yontif, but Shabbos. We don't select Shabbos is when it is. So how exactly do we sanctify Shabbos? So that's also something which needs to be figured out. It seems that despite the fact that Shabbos is wholly on its own, and it's not like an animal that we would dedicate for Karbanos, so there's this notion of Hekdesh V'Peh that we have to specifically designate it as holy, and it becomes holy because of that, or something else that we might want to dedicate to the Beit HaMikdash becomes holy because we declared it as such. So Shabbos, that's not what's going on. Shabbos is going to be holy with or without us. Now, there is a notion of Tosefta Shabbos that we spoke about that brings up the question of can we bestow Kiddushah on a period of time before Shabbos actually starts. So different possibilities about what's happening there. But once Shabbos itself does start, so then it is. And what do we add by Zachar Soma Shabbos Katra? So it seems that on some level, the nature of Kiddushah Shabbos is that it does require a recognition that yes, it's holy in of itself, but especially considering what the whole mitzvah is about. And the truth is, if we had time, we could speculate how this connects to other aspects of Shabbos as well, including the malachos. But the kedusha of Shabbos, by its very nature, is tied in with our recognition and appreciation of Shabbos. And therefore, there's room to say that despite the fact that it is established and designated and exists on its own, it's still our obligation to be aware of it. And the whole theme of Shabbos, that we should act differently because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on the seventh day, and that this is a testament to creation. So the notion of sanctifying it through our awareness is very much a part and parcel of that. That we have a recognition and appreciation, and especially the idea that we mentioned of Kiddush being tied in with the Malachos. And the notion that the Malachos have to be a statement, have to be a Shvitza Hadikaras. So therefore, Kiddush makes the Malachos to that kind of a statement is also consistent with this idea. So what the Chassam Sofer was saying, that every minute you get deeper into Shabbos, Kiddush makes even more sense. It's just that you have to also do it at the beginning, so that probably takes care of your obligation to have Torah. But the appropriateness and the fittingness of Kiddush at any moment of Shabbos is there, and in fact increases, that it creates within us an obligation to recognize it and to be aware. So it seems that this notion of Zachar Som HaShabbos Sekacho seems to reflect that, and the various ways in which we do that are all a part of this core theme. Everybody with me so far? It's a little bit broad and conceptual to think that that is a big part of what we're seeing here. So, to go back for a moment to that question of the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we saw that that was a big sticking point as far as the Magen Avraham's position that Shemona Esrei by itself could accomplish the obligation of Kiddush Mitzvah Torah. And the Mishneh Berurah and the Mishneh Chinuch and others raised the question, well, what about the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? In the end of our parak tells us that's necessary. So we saw there are a couple of approaches to how to address that. So we can say, yeah, it's necessary, and that knocks out the Magen Avraham. You can't be Yosef Kiddush without it. Or maybe you could say it's an Asmachta, and that the HaTorah, you can be Yosef Kiddush without it. It's just the Rabbanah. It's necessary. Or maybe there is some other way of fulfilling it. The Mishneh Berurah talks about whether maybe the Brachos Kriya Shema combining with the Tzvila should allow you to claim the Kriyas Yitzias Mitzrayim happening there. There is even a possibility that maybe the Gemara is not talking about Kiddush on Shabbos. Maybe the Gemara is saying that the Kriyas Yitzias Mitzrayim is an obligation in Pesach Kiddush. Maybe that's the point then. Pesach, when the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is front and center. So in that context, we're told that Kiddush also has to include the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's another possibility, maybe explain Kiddush on Shabbat surviving without it. It's also possible, as we indicated, that maybe it is a obligation in the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a whole discussion which we've alluded to in the past, that if we're going to say that the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is in the Torah, so then it would seem like it would have to be Ma'akim, because the Zohar Rishonim will maintain that a din that is in the Torah is usually crucial. The notion of L'chasiwa and B'diavet, that's relevant when we talk about Dinim D'Rabbanan. But any din in the Torah is all or none. So that's the idea that some have, not everyone agreed with it. The academic did an academic one of the Svarim, the whole essay trying to establish that it's not necessarily true. But it would seem to pose a problem here. If we're saying that Yitzchiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is Minhat Torah, so then it's hard to say you can be Yotzei without it. Unless you say that maybe it's not a din in Kiddush, it's a din in Yitzchiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. That the mandate that we have of remembering the Exodus, which we know where it tells us applies during the daytime, applies also during the nighttime, the focus, applies in so many different forms. So maybe this is a prat in that din also, that we're supposed to take all of the opportunities to remember Yitzchiras Mitzrayim. And Kiddush is another opportunity where this should happen. But it's a din in Zechiras Yitzchiras Mitzrayim, not a din in Kiddush. So even if it's Minhag Torah, if you are lacking that, it could be that it's not a problem in Kiddush, it's a problem in Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, in this opportunity. But it doesn't mean that the Kiddush necessarily is flawed. So there are various ways to try to address this question. But it's interesting to consider that if we assume that it is Ma'akev, so why should it be Ma'akev? And what has it got to do with Kiddush? Zachar is on the Shabbos Makasha. So why is the Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim a fundamental part of that? So the world existed before Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the synergy, if you will, or the partnership between Zechiras HaShabbos and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is an interesting thing to consider. And we understand that they do create two halves together, two halves of events. That we have to remember that God created the world. But the creation of the world alone could have been its own aspect. And there were those who believed, the deists, that God created the world. Yes, it's too hard to deny that much, but he doesn't maintain any further interest in human history. So the notion of the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which takes the whole concept of creation to a whole new level. It's not just that God made this world, that he involves himself deeply in history and in guiding it, and that takes us right to Sinai as well, the whole notion of mission for the Jewish people. It all essentially becomes one sentence. So that would account for a number of these formulations. Either to say the most common formulation, that Kiddush has to include the Zechiras of Mitzrayim for that reason, because our recognition of a creator of the world is incomplete without also acknowledging his ongoing involvement in history. But it also works the other way around, that the din of the Zechiras of Mitzrayim, its own mitzvah, is itself an extension of the notion of God as the creator. And therefore, it makes sense that every opportunity that you have to expand on this concept, on this awareness of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, should also be available. Okay, so far so good? Everybody with me? Okay, so now let's consider for a second the aspect of wine and the bracha. Bracha of Pari Pri Hadassah. Right, so our general Kiddush Friday night involves two components. It involves a bracha on wine. It's more than two. It involves two brachos. Various components. So we make Kiddush on wine, the Makom Suda. And we recite two brachas. We recite the bracha of Kiddush. We saw yesterday the Ritva understanding that it didn't. And we also recite the Pari Pri Hadassah on wine, and we generally drink from the wine. So, one question now to explore. Whether that's Minat Torah or Midrabanan, and we've seen by now there are a number of shitas, some do seem to think that wine is Minat Torah. Many others don't think so. Tosus also made a distinction that having wine is Minat Torah, but drinking it is not. And the Pari Pri Hagafen on the wine, presumably Berachas Hanen in general, are Midrabanan. So, however you assign the parts, what's Minat Torah, what's Midrabanan? But practically speaking, when we make Kiddush over wine and we make the Pari Pri Hagafen, how do you understand that whole relationship? What's going on? Is it that you're making Kiddush? And Kiddush should be al hakos because there is a din of enhancing brachos with the presence of wine. So just like Sheva brachos recited al hakos, and Havdalah, benching, is a hakos. So too, Kiddush should also be a hakos. And you'll recall that this was also a major question from the Dalet Hosos that we came back to repeatedly in the context of Arvei Pesachim. That is Dalet Hosos as a concept, is that there to make mitzvot a hakos? Or is that there for different purpose, the drinking itself somehow as an obligation. So, in its own way, what about Kiddush? Is it a bracha al hakos? Or is somehow the process of the kos, or the bracha maybe, the Pari Pri Hagafen on the kos, is that meant to merge with the Kiddush itself and be a part of the kiddush. What would you think? Or, if you're not sure, what difference would it make? Would that affect anything? Harry? Okay, so as is often the case, you opened up 5 or 6 doors for that comment. So let's try to explore some of the different pathways that were just illuminated, that were just identified through that very insightful point. So let's take it apart. So first of all, the last card will separate out, because the question of what's min haTorah, what's min haRabbanan. Okay, so we see that that's a big machloket, but let's point our investigation to the final package. So, yes, definitely relevant to figure out what came from where, but nowadays that we have all of that as a part of the Kiddush, so what is the understanding of each part? And if it's the Rabbanan, okay, so then what did Chazal have in mind in the way that they enhanced this mitzvah specifically in this format? So, that question will compartmentalize, but what about the fact that other alternatives seem to exist? And that's itself interesting. So, first of all, it's an interesting question that if you do say that wine is min haTorah, question that I just said a bit aside, let me turn it back in for a second, if you do say that wine is min haTorah, so does that mean that pas is also min haTorah, the alternative? So, that is a major question. That is an issue. A lot of the Rishonim seem to understand that it is also included. Now, it's hard to begin with because you had a hard enough time figuring out how wine could be included in haTorah. So whatever status was allowing wine to be part of the understanding of Zohar, Shom, Shabbos, and Tacho, so how does Paz come in? So if you say that it's because we can look to other psukim, like a pasuk in Hosea, for example, that talks about yayin in the context of the zechira, so then we don't have that source for pas. And in fact, there is a long essay that is far from the Aderes, who mentioned it in the past. Rav Cook's first father-in-law was known as the Aderes, which is a beautiful name. Rashi Tavis is his case. So the Adaras was a big Talmud Chacham who wrote many Svarim, and they were in manuscript for a long time. In the past few years, they have released a number of published versions of some of the manuscripts. So there is a Sefer of his on the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Sefer HaChinuch, that is called the Cheshbonos Shel Mitzvah. So there, in Lamed Aleph, he has a long discussion about the Yanis. So he was one of those who just mentioned before who said that the idea of the theorist, the idea of the drowned, is a din in Pesach Kiddush. But also, talking about Shabbos Kiddush, so he writes that the idea that the pasuk could be talking about Paz, that's very difficult. All of the support for Yayin connected to Sira is specifically about Yayin, from the hands of the Sukkim. And doesn't apply to Paz. So someone wrote the footnotes over there. They point out that it's difficult because there are a lot of Rishonim that do seem to say that Paz would be included in whatever status Yayin has. So that's itself interesting, and the Halacha is also interesting because if they are alternatives, so how insistent are we that it be on wine? So there are some poskim who write that if you have a choice, you should always use wine, and that even if the question is hearing kiddush from someone else or being able to make your own kiddush, better to hear somebody else's kiddush over wine than to make your own kiddush over a challah. But on the surface, it seems like the pas is a viable alternative, And the Gemara says you may feel that the pot is preferable to you than the wine. So it's clear that pas does occupy this alternate slot for wine in the place of Kiddush. So that is interesting. And this is a point that Rav Soloveitchik talks about in his shiurim. So this question of how to understand wine in Kiddush and Perkei Agav in Kiddush, this is a discussion that a lot of Achronim pick up. Frank has shuvas about this, and others talk about this. And the Soloveitchik in his Yortzeit shiur, we referenced that a little bit a few months ago, talking about Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he also has a number of Yortzeit shiurim about Kiddush. And in that context, so he talks about this issue also. And over the next few minutes, we'll probably selectively take bits and pieces of what he writes there in considering this question of how to relate to the Bar Pri Hagafen and the Yayin Kiddush. So one point he makes there, like Ari is saying, is what can we understand from the Lama? Now what's particularly interesting is, let's say if we contrast it with Havdalah. Now the point about Kiddush during the daytime has its own complication. So let's set that aside for a second, how to relate to Kiddush during the daytime. But if we compare Friday night Kiddush and Havdalah, so the Chachila, or by default, let's say, both of them are recited over one. But what happens if you don't have one? What's the runner-up? So let's say Havdalah, you don't have wine for Havdalah, what's the runner-up? So for Havdalah, the runner-up is what we call Chamar Medina, meaning that it is a different chashuv to drink. And it gets into all kinds of interesting discussions of what different people think of chashuv as far as drinks are concerned. But for Friday night, the runner-up is not Chamar Medina. For Friday night, the runner-up is bread. And for Havdalah, the runner-up is not bread. The runner-up is Chamar Medina. Now the question of grape juice in Kiddush is a whole different discussion. That opens up different questions of whether grape juice is treated like wine. But that was a big debate that's separate from the Chamar Medina question. But for Friday night, if it's not wine or grape juice, so then we don't turn to Chamar Medina, we turn to bread. So the Soloveitchik felt in the Sira that that shows you something, that there's a difference between Havdalah and Friday Night Kiddush. That Havdalah is about a bracha al hakam. And therefore, if we don't have wine to be the kos, so then something else will be a chashuv to drink. But that will be an extension of the notion of bracha al hakam. But Friday night, it's not about bracha hakos, it's something else. It's that the bari pri hagafen, or the wine, or both, essentially integrate in to the process of kiddush. And it's especially interesting to consider that it might be the bracha even more than the wine itself, which is particularly interesting. So, how do you see it being even more about the bracha than about the wine, perhaps? So, there are a number of questions, the halacha, some of them the Soloveitchik discuss, some of them others discuss, but they all call attention to this question. So, for example, the Magen Avraham writes the halacha, that let's say, Motzei Shabbos, everyone's making Havdalah, and you are behind. You had a very inspiring Shal Shittes, and you're gathering Meir very slowly, and you're way behind everyone else. So you're still davening, and they're about to make Havdalah. So let's say you don't hear from the very beginning. So he may kill Yeshuazi, that's not Maki Havdalah for sure. And luckily, it's fighter in context, they're sitting there very long, he may kill Yeshua, so he gives you 2 more minutes to get there. Then, still, they finish in the Kelly Shwasi, still not right here, still a little bit of damage. So then they make the bracha, very pretty high bracha. And they make the bracha on the Nair and the Psalm. And then you pop into the room right before Haman. So are you Yosei Havdalah if all you heard was the bracha of Haman? So, Magen Avraham assumes yes. That the bracha that you needed to hear from Havdalah was just that bracha that evokes the theme of Havdalah. Yes, there's more to it, but those brachos are brachos for specific acts that don't impact your being Yosei Havdalah. And let's say the Bayi Pri Agafen, say you just missed that. So the Bayi Pri Agafen, the Magen Avraham understands that's for the Magdil, the guy making Havdalah. Since he's going to be drinking from the wine, so he needs to make a Bayi Pri Agafen so he can drink. But that's not crucial to your Havdalah. And therefore, if you don't hear that bracha, it's not going to interfere with your ability to be able. However, says the Chaim, what if the reverse would happen, or happen, reverse side happen Friday night? Let's say you miss the bracha of Bayi Pri Agafen, and you only hear the bracha of Kiddush. Are you Yotze? Parallel Havdalah? So Reb Chaim thought not. Reb Chaim thought that that bracha, the Bayi Pri Agafen of Kiddush, becomes merged with the mitzvah. And you need to hear that in order to be Yotze. As opposed to Havdalah, which is a bracha lakos. Now, you should just appreciate, this is actually extremely practical, that this is a much more common scenario than you might think. So when we talked about Havdalah a minute ago, so I just described a situation where you were going to your Meiriv that you were still involved with that when it came time to Havdalah. So Friday night is a different issue. It's particularly relevant if you're at a Shabbaton or if you're in YU for Shabbos, the big in Shabbos. Why? What am I talking about? So, can you anticipate what the issue is? If you go to, let's say, you're in YU for a big in Shabbos, and you go to the cafeteria, and they're making Kiddush there. So what often happens? So, sometimes the one who's making Kiddush, as you know, different approaches to this, but there are those who stand up to the beginning of Kiddush and sit down for the brachos. So, what problem does that create in a large setting? That when the Makari sits down for Bari Pri Hagafen, and there are 200 people in the room, 200 chairs rustle at that minute. It is actually extremely likely and common that these people who are all listening to one individual make Kiddush, one Rebbe make Kiddush, are not going to hear the Baruch Bayi Pri Agafen. So that actually could pose an issue, because according to the Chaim, you're not going to be able to. That's a big chumrah, but that's a practical consideration that actually could come up pretty frequently. So this idea seems to indicate that the Bayi Pri Agafen itself, the bracha, not just the wine, but not just that the wine should be there, and in order to drink it, you need to have a bracha recited, but that the bracha is actually the point. And if you look, the Rashi and Erevin and the Rashashim that I intend you to look at, the whole notion of chicken and the egg, that what's happening for what? Are you drinking wine and you're making a bracha because you're drinking wine? Or are you making a bracha? And then you're drinking wine so that the bracha shouldn't be disassociated, shouldn't be just floating. seems like that is just as much of a possibility. And this could affect a number of other things. For example, it's one of the figures in our Beit Sochen, which for synergy purposes had relevance this past year in an unusual way, that if you've been keeping up with the Gemara's part of what they'll be doing, if the Gemara is about Kiddush here, so the Gemara discusses the concept of Oreis Mapu Mekadesh. That, let's say, this is so alien to us nowadays, it's so different from the way our schedules normally go. But let's say you are having a meal Friday afternoon, and it becomes Shabbos in the middle of your meal. So you spread the tablecloth, and you make Kiddush, and then continue with what is now your Friday night dinner. And that seems so foreign to us, but there are people who did it this year on Purim. So some have this practice that when Purim is on Friday, as it was this past year, so it's a question how to get your Purim Suda in on a Friday Erev Shabbat. And there are those who have a minute to do it this way, to have the Suda late in the afternoon, and then to break in the middle and turn it into a Shabbos. So if you make Kiddush in the middle of the meal, especially if it's Purim, right? Especially if it's Purim, so presumably there was a Bari Priya Gafen recited already that's in play. So do you recite another Bari Priya Gafen during this Kiddush in the middle of the meal? So this was a Machlokas Rishonim in our Beit Sochen. There are camps that are shown about this. And the notion that you would make a additional Bari Pri Hagafen in the middle, even though you already have one in play, that could reflect the idea that there is a specific role that the Bari Pri Hagafen plays in establishing this Kiddush as complete. Soloveitchik also wrote in his Shiurim that he thought this was Machlokas Beisilo Beishamai, excuse me, Brachos, as far as what, when you make Kiddush, what should come first? Should it be the Bracha of Kiddush itself, or should it be the Bari Pri Hagafen? So he thought that this was the issue. How do we relate to the Bari Pri Hagafen? If it's just a bracha hakos, so it makes sense, like benching. You should bench, and then at the end you make a Bari Pri Hagafen and you drink the wine. So Kiddush could have worked the same way. Make the bracha of Kiddush, and then make a Bari Pri Hagafen and drink the wine. But the way we assume that you should have the Bari Pri Hagafen first, and then have Kiddush as kind of an interruption in between the Bari Pri Hagafen and the wine. So that comes to suggest that it's all actually integrated into the process. Also, a discussion in the poskim about what happens if you make Kiddush and you forget to make Bari Pri Hagafen. So you just recite the bracha of Kiddush and you drink the wine. So does that still count? Or are you missing something? Now clearly you're missing bracha on the food, which is a problem in general. But after the fact, you normally assume there's nothing you can do about it. But what about as far as Kiddush? Is the Kiddush also flawed? That was itself a discussion. Poskim and Yosher, the truth about that, and the others discussed this. It also seems to relate to this same question. Or what about the issue of Arvus? Spoke about a lot yesterday, the day before. And the issue that if you want to be motzi someone else, when it comes to reciting a bracha on someone else's behalf, so we assume that you have to be obligated in the mitzvah. But if you're not right now obligated, because you did the mitzvah already, that's where arvus comes in. So if you already heard the shofar, you can do the shofar again for somebody, because you're technically obligated, even if you're not obligated right now. So the Gemara draws a distinction that we only say that, practically speaking, by Birchos HaMitzvahs. That when it comes to a mitzvah, it's enough to be technically obligated. You don't have to be obligated right now. You can still be mostly someone else. But when it comes to Birchos HaNenin, at least Midrabanan, so there you have to actively be involved. Basically, we don't use arvus for Birchos HaNenin. So if somebody else wants to eat a piece of cake, and they want me to make a mazonos for them, so that works if I'm also eating cake. I'm about to have some cake, and I make a mazonos, and you're about to have some cake. You can listen to my mazonos and be okay that way. But if I'm not having cake now, so the fact that I am technically obligated in a bracha, were I to be having cake, that's not enough. So in practice, we don't allow me to make a mazonos for someone else who's eating if I'm not eating. So for mitzvos, yes, but for Birchos HaNenin, no. So that's how we act in practice. So the Gemara has a suffix, Mar Rosh Hashanah, that okay, so we draw this line between food, where we don't allow you to rely on arvus, and mitzvot, where we do. But there are some interesting in-between cases. And both of them are relevant to us this month. Mara says, what about the hamotzi of matzah and the bari pri agafen of kiddush? How do we classify those? Is that those berachos hanenin or those berachos hanenin? And here, if you look at Rashi, if you look at Rashi and you look at the Ritva, so it's interesting, because the Ritva especially understands that what the Gemara is saying is that normally these are voluntary brachos. So on any regular day, somebody wants to drink, okay, so then he is triggering a bari pri agafen. He wants to have some bread, he's triggering a hamotzi lechem. But it's not a chiyuv. But Pesach night, matzah is a chiyuv. And Friday night, wine is a chiyuv. So Memela says the Ritva, it's as if Chazal would say, told us that you have to do these things, especially in the case of Kiddush. And therefore, the mitzvah is now obligatory. It is a berachos hamitzvah rather than a berachos hanenin that is normally voluntary. So that is a interesting idea as well to consider. Now, to mention one more point that we'll have to pick up on this next time to see where it goes. But to draw a distinction between those two examples, Kiddush and Matzah. So as we discussed a little bit, so there is a Machlokas, based on Machlokas Rishon, and for the Seder, whether you have two mitzvos or two matzos or three matzos. And the idea of having an extra matzah is to not combine the mitzvos, same osa mitzvos chavilos chavilos. So therefore, we shouldn't make the same bracha on, or the bracha on the same matzah. We don't want to make the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz on the Suda, and the bracha on the mitzvah of matzah on the same matzah, we have two separate. So Tosfos and Brachos raises the question, so Friday night, we make Kiddush, we make two brachos on Bari Pri Agafen, but two brachos on the one cup of wine. So the Nitziv writes in his Haggadah, that's not the thing. That Kiddush, the Bari Pri Agafen, is a part of the Kiddush. It is integrated into the Kiddush itself. So what does all of that mean for us? How do we understand that? So that will have to be our pick up on that next time. Tomorrow or Monday. Tomorrow for sure we have to explore the second Aliyah of Korah. See how long that takes. And between now and then, I wish you a wonderful day. It should be all the great things. Look forward to seeing you soon.